Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show, and I'm Alan Chartok. We're tackling two current events topics today. First, House Speaker John Boehner's sudden resignation. He's leaving, and it's created a void in Republican leadership. Some say he was forced out for being ineffectual, but is there anyone else in the somewhat fractured party who could be more effective in forwarding a unified Republican agenda? And does this uncertainty spell disaster for the party, a la the Goldwater revolt of the 1960s? And second, Barack Obama and Vladimir Putin both addressed the UN General Assembly yesterday and urged the opposite action with regard to how to handle Bashar al-Assad. Obama wants to kick him out. Putin wants to work with him. What does this stark difference of opinion mean? Plus, both presidents are brushing up against other rivals today. Obama's meeting with Cuba's Raul Castro and Putin's nemesis, Ukraine's Petro Poroshenko, addressed the UN General Assembly. Let's talk about those headlines, and I really need you to help, because without you, we are nothing. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WMC Radio using the hashtag Vox Pop. And you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So what should I say? We have five phones. They all are lying fallow. 1-800-348-2551. And I'm interested in what you think. So let's talk about Putin. Let's talk about Putin for a moment and the president. So is Putin the bad guy that the Russians have always, you know, been posited as? Or does he have a point? You know, my own feeling, and you know I have said this to you many times, is that, you know, you, as Mario Cuomo used to tell me, you gotta think six steps in advance. If he does this and I do that, then what if he does this? But what if he does that? So Governor Cuomo used to say, you have to think six steps in advance in order to understand what's happening. And so what we find here is that we didn't think six steps in advance when we went into Iraq. Now, we all know the Iraqi incursion was a lie. We know it. We know there were no weapons of mass destruction at the time. We know they were lying. We know they were using bad information. And we went in anyway. And then we broke it. And then we owned it. And that's just the way that it is. So, you know, you have to sort of, on the one hand and on the other hand, on the one hand, if you are looking at a guy like, Assad, and you say, okay, this is a terrible man. He's done terrible things to his own people. But we're going to come in and we're going to assume that there's going to be a democracy. And we're going to assume that Assad will go away and then there'll be nirvana. Well, you know, and I know that there are a bunch of bums who are on the other side. And some of them have names like Osama bin Laden. Some of them are just terrible, terrible people. And our strategy has not been successful. So when the president of the United States says he has to go, Assad has to go, or he says about any of these other dictators that they had to go, are we better off or are we worse off than if we had just left them there? And many people think that our incursion into Iraq is exactly what has created the mess that we now find ourselves in with ISIS. So let's go to Greg and see what Greg has to say. 1-800-348-2551. Greg, you're on. Hello, Greg. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead.
Well, sort of on this Syria situation, you've probably heard these people. I've heard them. There was a delegation out of Albany that went to Syria and met with Assad. This is before this current flare-up. And said that they met with this guy. He studied in America. He's a dentist, blah, blah. He begrudgingly took over for his dad after he died because he's a patriot. The guy wanted to speak with America. The government shut him down and said, we won't speak with you. The guy is a good guy, according to this peace delegation of intellectuals and common people like you and me who went to meet with him. So meanwhile, Russia has been an ally with Syria, and they have political interests. They've been trading partners and so forth. I see this as a surrogate thing, and we're trying to influence, you know, put our influence down there. Russia feels affronted and so forth. They want to have influence there, and so I think these are surrogate situations,
so,
Alan.
Okay, let's assume you're right, Greg. So then what do we do now?
Well, I think we made a mistake to begin with. We're backing the wrong guy.
By the way, given, let's assume you can say Assad is a good guy, Assad's a bad guy, but let's assume any of that's true. But what's done is done. So what do we do now? Do we put ground forces? You know, there are Republican candidates for president who are now saying we have to put ground forces in there, and here we go again. Do we do?
Well, you know, I don't think we have any choice, but, you know, hope springs eternal. Work with the Russians. I mean, we're two of the world's greatest powers. Our military is far superior to theirs, but they have airplanes and stuff they put right on the ground there, and they're going to be flying. So either we're going to be shooting at each other or shooting together. I don't believe in the, you know, that war is going to solve the problem. But, I mean, hopefully we could work together. But the thing is, can you trust Putin and can he trust us?
So Obama's got a problem. He is being painted by his political enemies as ineffective, right? He's being as being basically cowardly. So he has to show some real backbone to the Russians, and this UN confrontation sort of helped them do that. So how much does domestic politics play in the way in which this is playing out?
Well, I don't think anybody here has the backbone or the will of Putin to, you know, call his bluff. I mean, that guy is, you see what he'll do. I don't think there's the political will to go to that extreme.
So
I don't know, Alan.
So Greg, Putin, in your estimation, is a guy who, like Tammany Hall, sees his opportunities and takes them. If he thinks we're going to stand up to him, do you think that we have missed the boat by not standing up to him further? I mean, really, for example, in Ukraine, should we have done more?
Well, that Ukraine thing, you know, I have ancestry that came from that area, and that's been going on for centuries. And, you know, that's their back door. And, you know, my sort of feeling was, hey, I don't believe in it. I think it's wrong, but it's understandable based on history. And you know, it's like us being next to our neighbor. We're only going to tolerate so much, you know, interference from other people.
Well,
and
Greg,
I don't think,
you make great sense. I thank you, Greg, for starting us off here today. And I appreciate it very much. We're going to take a little break, and we thank you for calling, Greg.
Okay, thanks, Alan.
Bye.
Support comes from Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in divorce mediation and collaborative divorce, helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce. Offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com. East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals, EastHeaven.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more. Where eyewear is an art, Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com. Saratoga Jewish Community Arts presenting the film Life in a Jar, The Life of Irina Sendler and Rescue of 2,500 Children from the Warsaw Ghetto. 7 p.m. on October 25th at Temple Sinai. Panel discussion to follow. 518-584-8730. And the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz opening the 2015 fall season with Joseph Goodrich's suspense-filled romantic mystery, Panic, October 1st through 18th, newpaltz.edu/theatre.
And we are back. So, We talked a little bit about Putin. Now I want to talk about the other topic, which is House Speaker John Boehner's resignation and what happens to the Republicans. The Republican Party is committing suicide. Really, I mean, if they think that demands for shutting down the government over birth control is a good move, it isn't, because the way elections are won or lost in the United States has to do with the way in which the good American people, the people in the middle, the people who can vote Republican or Democratic, decide what they're going to do. When you're seen as being nutty on either side, that just hands elections to others. But the problem for these Republicans are that a very small group of people come out to vote in the primaries. And as a result of that, and those people are almost always sort of right-wing ideologues. So even though you know you're handing the national elections away, in order to get elected to Congress yourself and to go into a primary, you got to outdo the other guy. That's the problem. Anyway, let's go to RJ in Schenectady. Okay, RJ, you're on.
Hi. I had a comment about Putin and
Russia.
Sure,
sure.
The big news story the last few weeks from Europe was the flood of refugees just overwhelming the continent. And the European leaders really didn't seem to know what they should do. And then all of a sudden, Putin came out with this announcement that he's going to join in the war in Syria. I really believe that it was connected to the timing of it was connected to the migrant crisis.
Well, you may be right. I suspect his big problem, RJ, is to present to his people, the nationalists in his country, which is why he's so popular, the idea that he will get in America's face whenever he thinks it's right to do so. And even with all of the sanctions that have been put on those folks in Russia, they love him. And he turns out to do very well in all the polling. And so he's not going to change his approach to the United States. A lot of people thought that they were shamed after the Soviet Union collapsed. This isn't the first time in the world we have seen this kind of thing. We certainly saw it when Hitler took over in Germany and played to the same kind of group. But in any case, RJ, thank you so much for your very good call. Appreciate it. Okay, now they're really coming in, those calls. Let's go to Eli in Utica. Okay, Eli, you're on.
Hey, so, Alan, I wanted to talk about John Boehner closing down the government and the Hastert rule, named after Denny Hastert, former Speaker of the House.
Go ahead. Remind everybody what it was, that nothing would be voted on unless, go ahead.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
No, you do it.
Unless the Republicans have a majority.
He would not allow a vote.
So in other words,
if the Democrats, if there were enough Democrats and Republicans to pass a bill, unless he had enough Republican votes to do it on their own, he wasn't going to do it. That was the Hastert rule. Yeah, okay.
Right, without a single Democratic vote. And if you really look at that rule, you see a sort of fanaticism, which I believe is the only word that describes it, on their part. In other words, what they're saying is what this causes is it allows 40 ultra-conservative Republican, mostly Deep South, members of the House of Congress to basically control legislation and to be able, just those 40 alone, to shut down government, even though perhaps the other 300-plus members don't want to shut it down. It's a piece of real insanity, in my opinion, where just because you might be one member short of a vote in the Republican Party, and you might need one vote from one Democrat, and only 40 of your representatives out of what do they have for the Republicans now? 260 or so representatives.
They have a lot of them.
Sure,
yeah, but you're right. But
the, and, I mean, don't you agree? Isn't it?
Well,
wait. Go ahead.
Well, it depends, Eli. It depends on what you're looking at. If you're looking at being the speaker and surviving, you do that kind of thing to keep your people happy with you. If you're looking at good public policy, forget it. You're absolutely right. It's terrible. But that's not what this is all about. Eli, thank you for your call. Appreciate
it very
much.
Okay, thank
you, Al. Yeah, yeah. Okay, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, lots of free phones. I need you to call. I want you to call. Let's go to Melanie in Albany. Okay, Melanie, you're on.
Hi there.
Hey.
Full disclosure, I love listening to you just about every day, but I usually vote Republican.
Fair enough. I'm delighted you called.
I like hearing the pros and cons, and I think, you know, everybody should be open-minded about listening to both sides. That said, I don't understand why, if the Republicans want to have a budget passed that doesn't include something for Planned Parenthood, and they send it to the president that way, why is it their fault? Why isn't it the president's fault? If he won't sign it, they're having a spitting match here, and they both, you know, do their line in the sand or whatever you want to call it. And why is it their fault instead of the president? He's the one. It was in his court. He could pass it and then let them talk about Planned Parenthood separately. Why is it not his fault if the government shuts
okay.
it down? Because
okay, you've asked that question a couple of times. First of all, Melanie, I want you to know how I love the fact that you called and you announced you're Republican. This is a station for everybody, and I'm delighted you called.
Thank you.
Okay, number one.
That.
Number two, I don't agree with you about the substance of this, because there is such a thing as right and wrong. Now, you take Planned Parenthood. You know, the amount of their efforts and times compared to everything else they do on this one issue is minuscule.
Right.
Is minuscule. It's minuscule.
Yeah.
But there is a right.
Why can't it be two separate things so they can discuss? They have a big disagreement about it. You have to admit, even if you think it's a small thing, some people think it's a big thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they need
Melanie,
to discuss it.
But Melanie, but the point is that the Republicans aren't going to let them do that. They're not going to let them do that. They don't want that. They want, and this is a very important thing for everybody to remember, sometimes you want to win, and sometimes you want the issue. And in this case, they want the issue because they think it's a cohesive issue that will keep them going down. So it really isn't a question of what the president could do. The Republicans own both houses of Congress, and they can do what they want. And doing it, I think it's a big mistake. Anyway, Melanie, lots of people on the phone now. Thanks to you. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Bye.
Okay, lots of free phones. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And Marley in Florence, Massachusetts. Okay, Marley, you're on.
Hi. I'm just wondering, what is the source of the divide in the Republican Party? You know, if it's the same thing that is dividing the Democratic Party and all the American people, really. The fact that 9/11 is a big, ugly lie, and we all know it. Everyone knows it.
Yeah, but I don't exactly get it. Look, what's dividing the Republican Party is that there are two kinds of Republicans. There's the party of Lincoln. There's the party of Rockefeller. You know, these are people who really set America.
Yeah, but you know that there are no Lincolns or Rockefellers in Congress right now.
I think you're probably wrong. I wish, you know, there's an old joke about eat your vegetables to the kid, and the kid says why, and says because there are poor kids, you know, starving in Europe, and the answer is name one. But in fact, there are very good moderate Republicans in the House of Representatives.
But really, I mean, if my vegetables is 14 solid years of fake news, then I don't want to eat my vegetables anymore.
What do you mean, fake news?
I mean, news that's premised on a lie, you know, premised on the idea that the laws of physics can be suspended for a day. That is wrong, you know?
Okay, I think I understand what you mean, Marley, and thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Arlene in Albany. Arlene, you're on.
Hello. I have an idea about what to do about Syria.
Okay.
Those Syrian refugees pouring into Europe, we would have Europe's backing for this, too. I think we should have the UN declare a police action in Syria and clean it up and run a plebiscite, have people vote. Do they want Assad? Do they want someone else? Or do they what? But have a force in there to make peace so we could have a real election and have those people vote on what they want their future to be.
Okay. First of all, right, Arlene, you have to have agreement on the Security Council, don't you? And
yes.
That's not so easy.
Let me want to do something there. I mean, at least we could put this out.
Let me just finish the sentence, okay? The answer is that when you go to the Security Council, there's a lot of politics that goes on. The only reason, the last great police action was where, Arlene?
Korea.
That's
South
correct.
Korea.
And do you remember why it was voted? Because,
I don't remember why it was.
Why?
But
because
I
the
remember so- it was
because,
called a UN police action
yes,
in this country.
Because the Soviets stood up and they were so disgusted with what was going on that they walked out. And while they were out of the room, this thing passed.
Maybe we could do the same or something like a cooperation with Russia. If put it up to Putin. If he wants to have peace there, let's do something decent about it.
And what if he said no? What if he said, I'm going to get in the United States' face no matter what, because that's what leads to my personal popularity. What if he said no? And by the way, there are an awful lot of people.
Wait till he leaves the room.
Okay, Arlene, thank you for the great call. Appreciate it.
All right,
okay, let's go to Peter in Red Hook. Okay, Peter in Red Hook, 1-800-348-2551. Lots of free phones. Go ahead, Peter in Red Hook.
Yes, Dr. Shartok. I think that we could potentially use our aircraft carriers positioned properly in the areas where there's distress, although, you know, they're maintaining their military action as their primary function, but to process all of these immigrants trying to reach all the various countries. It's a wonderful facility to do such, meaning that you can try to eliminate anybody that would cause any harm to any of the places that they're being sent and represent the United States in the best possible way. And that's all I have to say.
No, don't go away. Don't go away. I got a whole bunch of
questions. I won't go away.
I got a whole bunch of questions for you. Okay.
Go right ahead.
First of all, once they're there on the aircraft carriers, where do they go next?
They go to their countries of destination, those that are equally willing to take in a certain number.
Okay. Of course, that posits the idea that nobody speaks with a forked tongue, that they really are willing to do that, and that they're willing for the United States to be the arbiter of who goes where, right?
No, not necessarily. They make their choice and matched against countries that are willing to take in a certain number of, whether they're Syrians with a population. And, you know, we have a wonderful open country here in the United States. Canada is very liberal. There are many states that are really open, and they just help the general economy. I think it is a
So how come Donald Trump makes such hay when he says keep them out?
Well, no, I don't agree with everything that Donald Trump does say.
My point is he's leading in all of the Republican polls. How come?
Well, no, I understand that, but that's going to fall by the wayside when it comes down to him being the president of the United States.
No, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I'm just trying to indicate that there are a lot of people who don't think that this is such a wonderful place to accept these either refugees or immigrants, depending on what word you want to use.
Listen, I truly understand that, but what's interesting is Donald Trump, last name Trump, rhymes with 12 letters of the 26 letters in the English language, including dump, chump,
Don't say anything that's going to lose us our license here, Peter.
No. Your license is intact, my friend.
Thank you, Peter.
I thank you very much for receiving my call. Give it some thought.
Okay.
And thank you. See you later, alligator.
Thanks for making the suggestion. Appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. Bye now.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Get in on it now, folks. Lots of free phones. Let's go to Doug, okay, in somewhere in Massachusetts. Okay, Doug, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan.
Hey.
From what you had said earlier about having to think ahead six steps of the other guy, Putin is a very dangerous man.
Okay.
And I'm not a hawk, but I think it's really time that the United States, in its foreign policy, has to start taking a very muscular position.
Like what?
Well, we need to really start sending our military in to solve these problems that we've created, both in Iraq and in Syria. Not just with ISIS, but with Assad. I agree with one thing the previous caller said, is that it would be a good idea to rescue these refugees, because that's what they are, refugees, not migrants, for the most part. And it's something that we created. We did not go in a timely fashion and support the moderate Syrians during the Arab Spring. And we could have been rid of this whole situation.
Are you sure there is such a thing, Doug, as a moderate Syrian? In other words, the premise of the Obama program, as I have said before, is that if you let a democracy flourish, it will. I'm not so sure that that's the truth. I think what happens is you get these thugs, the Osamas and the others, who basically are even more brutal, cutting people's heads off, dictatorships, that kind of thing, than what Assad was doing. And how do we support that?
No, I'm saying that we need to go in and destroy ISIS, and we need to get rid of the Assad government, and work in a coalition, definitely, a diplomatic part to it as well. But when you look at the faces of the men and the women and the children that are fleeing Syria, and you look at the numbers, 5 million, and they're talking that if this thing continues to go on, it could be upwards of 8 or 10 million refugees coming out of Syria, out of a population of about 15 million.
Right.
So that's a huge majority. That's 2/3 of the population of Syria. And these people are just like Americans. They want to have freedom. They want to raise their families and their children. These are not the...
Yeah, but they're running, and the other guys, the ISIS guys, are staying and cutting off people's heads.
Well, yes, I'm saying get rid of them.
Doug, and I got to let you go, but easier said than done, that is for sure. And the last thing that this president wants to do is involve our kids in another one of these wars. Thank you for calling, Doug. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay, let's go to Zen. Okay, Zen, you're on.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the call. I travel everywhere, and I appreciated the kind way you allowed the 9/11 conspiracy theorist his dignity. I've heard this 3 times in 4 days listening to radio, and mostly liberal radio, that somehow 9/11 was never happened. It's the modern version of the faked moon landing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
What I don't understand is how did it take root with people who should know better? I recognize that our political conversation has been reduced to a Marx Brothers act, but this one is particularly vexing to me. It's right there with Holocaust deniers. There's a level of certainty they have that I just can't get around. You have any idea who you talk to?
Zen, I don't, but it makes me as crazy as it makes you. Thank you for calling, Zen.
It's my pleasure, buddy.
Okay, let's go to Dan in Amherst. Okay, Dan, you're on.
Hey, I would like to comment on the Syria situation, and a world leader, a voice in that region, has been rather silent suspiciously silent.
Who's that?
And Netanyahu. And the reason I think he's been silent and kind of on the sidelines, normally he's never at a loss for words when he's, you know, going after Iran and their bomb,
sure,
or whatever, is because the Syrian-Israeli situation has been a detente, mm-hmm, for many years.
Yep.
It's been a stable situation. Assad knows his boundaries with Israel.
Yep.
Israel knows what they could do to Assad, and it's been stable. And
okay,
we upset the apple cart.
Okay, let's assume you're right. So what?
So it's about stability.
Yeah.
Okay, we have
Well,
created...
it's always, but I said that in the beginning, Dan. It's always about stability. You have stability. You have a maybe monster running the country. But will things be worse if you let the ISIS and other guys in? The answer is yes. And so you may well be right. You may
but
well
ISIS
be right.
But ISIS came into a vacuum. The instability creates a vacuum.
Yes, that's
when
true. That's
when you create
true.
A vacuum, you can't predict what's going to be sucked into the vacuum.
And we should know that. Dan, thank you. I have so many people to get to. I really want to thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back for the last third of the program.
Support comes from TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus, two locations, Route 9 in Hadley and Route 202 in South Hadley, providing tool and equipment rentals for homeowners and contractors. TJsTaylorRental.com. Washington County Tourism, featuring encampments, beer and brats, and harvest festivals throughout Washington County, including self-guided tours for children and adults. WashingtonNYCounty.com. The Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, celebrating its fifth anniversary with a performance by the jazz band plus Joshua Redman. Friday, October 23rd at 8 p.m., skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication, used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. And Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy. Comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998, WindyHollowVet.com.
Thank you, Zachary. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We have, you know, we have a little time. So the main thing now is keep the remarks short, because all five phones are ringing off the hook. I want to try to get everybody in. I don't want to. So we have a rule around here. If it's coming around a second time, I'll say, okay, time to ding, ding, goodbye. All right, let's go to James in Hudson. James in Hudson, you're on.
Hi, I wanted to ask you, who was our ally in World War II?
Well, Russia was, wasn't it?
Yes. And because we had to fight the greater evil. And I
Correct.
Think right now,
That's right.
ISIS is the greater evil.
Right. Okay.
And it's a threat to Stalin, and I think we can both agree on that.
We do agree on that.
Yep.
We do agree on it. The question is, why can't these guys do business with each other, the president and Putin?
Well, I think they're trying. I think the UN thing showed that they are at least trying. And it's certainly better to speak to your enemy than to ignore them.
Oh, James, you make a great and profound point. I thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Elizabeth in Montgomery. Okay, Elizabeth Montgomery, your own.
Hi. I think that this mess has been caused because the president doesn't have the backbone that he really needs.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. You're breaking up. I don't know why, but...
I don't know why. But I think... Remember when he was drawing the line and when he was talking about when the Iranian students were uprising? He just doesn't have the will to carry out his ideals. Now, he's talking about the Arab Spring, should have put his money where his mouth is. What we're seeing now is a defeated and deflated policy. And we're going to have to deal with that for many years to come.
Okay, but I'm unclear as to who the he you're speaking of is.
Obama, our president.
Okay.
Remember him?
No, I remember.
That's what we get for getting people who are really inexperienced in office.
Uh-huh.
You know, where are the Churchills? Where are the great leaders? That you know, I loved FDR. You go into that library, and I just want to It's amazing. Where is a man like that when we need him?
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you. All right, let's go to Ed in Otis. Okay, Ed, you're on.
Yeah, my comment's very brief. I think it just reiterates what some of the last few callers had to say. That I think it's really imperative for our president to be able to deal more effectively, frankly, with people he doesn't necessarily like. I think that's the nature of business, and that's the nature of politics. And I think our president has an issue with that, and I think it's really not served us well as a country in these last couple of years. And I think that, you know, his relationship with Putin or his relationship with Netanyahu are just good examples of that.
Well, but wait a second now, Ed. What if it's another way of looking at that is these guys may not be right on the issues, and why should he get along with somebody if in fact they're wrong?
Because that's the nature of life. You don't always have to like people you have to do business with, and you know.
Well, he says that.
Smaller world every day.
By the way, he says that. And when he says we got to talk and we got to compromise, people say you're a weak president with no backbone.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think people want to take and look at all the options and look at them objectively. And I think sometimes, you know, his view of some of these people does get in the way. I mean, regardless of, you know, his making a statement afterwards, you know, that I tried to, you know, to work with him. But, you know, you can't do that. And then the next day, badmouth him in the press, which happened in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, but you're assuming that Putin is a good guy, which he's not.
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. I didn't say he's a good guy. I didn't say anything positive about him whatsoever. That's exactly to my point, sir. Okay? It's like whether you like people, whether you think they're straight and honest to...
Well, then how do you give in to them? How do you give in to him, Ed? He moves into...
I don't say you should give in to him, but I'm saying you can't just walk away from him either.
Well, it sounds like... Well, I don't know that he just walked away from him. He met with him. They exchanged their views. They weren't the same.
I understand that, but unfortunately, there's been a long history that... I mean, today I heard it in the press, saying it's the next Cold War. The relationship between Russia and the United States as a result of his relationship with him over the last year or two.
Okay, Ed, I get it. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Okay.
My pleasure. Yeah, bye-bye.
Right. Let's go to Ann in Ulster. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Ann in Ulster, go.
Good afternoon, Alan. A lot of people, or some people, are saying they need boots on the ground in Syria.
Yeah.
Well, if you look past the propaganda that they spew verbally, showing the pictures of the refugees, I think an estimate would be fair that 80 to 90% are draft-age males. Why are they running away? I mean, put them in a uniform, give them boots, and tell them, go home and fight for your own country. Don't expect America to come in.
Okay. Anne, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Bruce in Ulster. Bruce, go.
Yeah, first of all, Alan, I really want to compliment you for this series of Vox Pops on all these very critical issues that are taking place all over, not only in here, but all over the planet. But I would like to enlarge the discussion about the Republican Party and what's going to happen when Boehner leaves. What's going to happen, because nobody has talked about this, maybe they've thought about it, if Donald Trump gets the nomination, it would not surprise me to see Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or somebody else or all of them to run as a third party. And a new Republican Party would be born, similar to the way that the Republican Party was born out of the Whigs, except that was progressive and this would be, you know, regressive.
Why do you say regressive? I mean, what makes you think that Trump is either more progressive or regressive than a guy like Marco Rubio?
Well, it's not just a matter of Marco Rubio or even Jeb Bush. It's a matter of this, what form would this new party take? And I think the form of the new party would be, like I said, regressive or more conservative.
right,
more radically conservative. That's my take on that.
Well, if they do that, they're done. And in fact, I think that's basically what they're doing now, Bruce.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you. And also, I'd like to say that as far as Iraq goes, you cannot divorce it from Afghanistan, because basically after 9/11, we had the war won in Afghanistan. And because they basically pulled out and just paid attention to Iraq, we allowed the Taliban to come back. In fact, we allowed Osama bin Laden to escape. They really had him boxed up with Zahari in that cave. And, you know, they were allowed to get out.
Okay, Bruce, I want to try to give everybody a chance. I thank you for the call, Bruce. It's always great to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Let's go to Jonathan in Sheffield. Jonathan in Sheffield, you're on.
Thank you, Alan. Regarding Syria, there are dozens of actors working with cross purposes.
Yep.
The U.S. either has to accept the situation on the ground, or if it wants to change it, drones and sanctions are not enough. They'll have to put boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's not politically palatable. So, unfortunately, I really don't see much progress being made in the next 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah, I think you speak with great wisdom. I think you're
right.
Thank
you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Bradley in Richmond. Okay, Bradley, you're on.
I think that it's political suicide that John Boehner is also ousted from the speaker. I think that there's a lot of issues. I'm just curious about why this. To me, it seems like the issues that the Republicans are taking up all the time aren't really the issues that the majority of people really care about.
Yeah, well, there's polls.
I mean, jobs,
sure,
and pollution and wars. And yep. I mean, Planned Parenthood, geez.
Well, there are polls that show that. There's a poll out this morning that says that they don't care about the Planned Parenthood thing. You're exactly right.
That's my comment. I'm disappointed with the politics.
Well, but you said very quickly, Bradley. You said it was suicide. Who's suicide?
The Republicans. They're cutting their throats. I mean, I just can't see how anyone would. It seems like there's a whole bunch of weird politics with that party right now.
Bradley,
I don't know why, but it just seems like.
Well, I do know why, and it has to do with how many people come out and vote in a primary and who they are. And it's a very small crowd, and that's how this whole thing is being worked out. Bradley, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Yeah, let's go to Marcella in Saratoga. Marcella, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. I listen to your show every day. I just wanted to make a comment about President Obama and Putin and their relation. I feel like the years of the Cold War, and we're just working towards better relations. And I feel like President Obama has tried to be as open as possible to continue a relation with a man who seemingly just wants to exert power. And we're moving towards a different global economy and politics. And I feel like our president has shown great efforts. That's basically my comment.
Well,
thank you.
I hate to say this, but I agree with you. Thank you very much.
Right. Have a good day.
Right. Let's go to Tom in Albany. Tom in Albany, you're on.
Yes. After this morning's UN discussion, I just wanted to get your opinion on whether or not you thought that it was kind of grandstanding, because public opinion of both figures, whether it be Putin or Obama, is very strong, and I wanted to know if you think there's backroom dealings in a legitimate way to actually work this out while still maintaining their strong presence and their public opinion within their own country.
Well, Tom, we really don't know, but I'm assuming there are, and I'm assuming they're talking to each other all the time, and that they're sort of feeling each other out on what could be acceptable or not. But the baseline here is what's good for them politically. And I think that's
right.
Particularly true with Putin, because Putin has done very well with his own nationalistic putsch in Russia. And people like it. And he is not going to change in midstream for a not good reason. So I think that's what it's about. Hey, Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right.
Hey, the check's in the mail for the Dropbox, so I appreciate all you guys do.
I so appreciate that. That lockbox is where we live. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Right. Let's go to, and by the way, it's 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206, if you want to just drop it in the mail. Okay, Michael from Monticello, you're on.
Hey, thanks. I listen to your show every day before work.
Great.
I just want to say that I get this a lot at work. A lot of people complain about politics and whatnot and
sure.
the president, but the first question should be asked, do you vote? And a lot of the time
exactly.
the answer is no. If you answer no to you do not vote, you cannot complain. That's basically
well,
my
comment. What makes you think they can't complain? They can complain. They do complain. They do whatever they want. They go eat a hamburger, and then they say, well, I don't want to encourage them. But you make a great point, Michael. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Dan in Albany. Dan, go.
Well, yes, Alan, thank you. I just think we need to change the way the primaries are structured. It doesn't appear to be working in anyone's interest.
That's easier said than done. So if
don't
you,
I know it?
So if you go to New Hampshire and say, okay, we don't want you necessarily to be the first primary in the country, they're going to go, and they're going to just, you know, just going to say no. If they had to make their primary the day after the last presidential election, they would. It's a major industry there. So, and so how do you do it is the question.
Well, the whole thing is a major industry, and the media loves it. Newspapers, TV, all that
sure.
advertising revenue.
Sure.
You know, and the campaign organizations, it's not working, though.
Dan, thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You're right about that. Let's go to Lee in Ulster. Lee, it's real fast now, or we're not going to make it. Go ahead.
Yeah, listening to 2 days of talk about Putin, and I say to you, you know what? If you want to see what money can buy when you let money buy an election, Putin is what you get. Yeah, you get an oligarch who's basically a thug with a lot of money behind him.
No,
and if we don't do something to reform here, that's the direction we're moving in.
And, you know, not only that, Lee, he tends to put people he doesn't like in jail.
Right.
And so that's another story.
Okay. Absolutely.
Lee, thanks a lot.
Goodbye.
Okay, that's it. We can't do much more than that unless there was somebody we could talk to. I don't know who that could be. Let's see. Susie Checkeye, do we have somebody to talk to there real quickly? Susie? Oh. Susie, we got somebody there? Okay. All right. Let's go to Peter in Stockbridge. All right. Peter in Stockbridge. And you're going to be the last call, and you got to make it fast. Go ahead, Peter.
I read in the Times the other day that Hillary knew about the email problems 2 months before she gave sworn testimony about it. And I haven't heard anything about it since. And I think that woman... as much as I'm a liberal, I think that she is a lie-aholic, and I think it's trouble.
Okay. Hey, Peter, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. All right. We're about out of time. Thanks for everybody who called in. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume and cover letter writing, Careers in Transition, LLC.com, Hudson Valley Goldsmith, New Paltz, specializing in custom design, fine jewelry made with conflict-free diamonds and recycled gold, vintage jewelry, and the work of over 20 artists, custom work in an open studio, HudsonValleyGoldsmith.com, College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services, and 24-hour towing and recovering service for over 30 years, collegestreetmotors.com, Kingsway Communities, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including memory care and more, caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Checkeye. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.